Okay, everyone, please go ahead and open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We're going to read one verse together. Verse 12, it's the words of Jesus. Okay, ready? Here we go. Let's read from when Jesus spoke.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Amen. These are the very words of Christ. So Jesus spoke these very special words, and I'm so happy that today I get to introduce to you a very important and very soul, life-giving word in the Bible. And that word is the word light. Now, if you look at the words, it's just very simple. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now, you don't have to be a Christian to understand what it means. Because whether you're Buddhist or Hindu or atheist or Muslim, you understand we need light. Light is important, right? But when Jesus says, "I am the light," oh my goodness, I want to show you when he says this and where he says it. Because if you understand the timing and the location of these words by Jesus, it will help you understand more deeply what it means to follow Jesus, to be his disciple. Listen, God made you for a very important purpose, which is to make this world beautiful, to remake the world into the Garden of Eden. Whether it's doing your work at the office, on the computer, at school, or with people, in your relationships, in your cooking, in your cleaning, in your preparation, it is to make the beauty and order and wonder of the world that God made. Now, the problem is the darkness. The darkness stands in the way. And so, what can we do? What has God done to bring that beauty, that light, that wonder? It is through his son, Jesus Christ. So that's the finish line. That's where we're going to go, how God did it. But I want to show you what Jesus was saying, the place and the time first. That's the amazing thing. So if you look, the place that we know he says this is actually not in John chapter 8. It's a few paragraphs before that in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, he says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." So the key I want you to look at is here, on the last and greatest day of the festival. What is the festival? In the Bible, it's called the Festival of Tents. The Festival of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacle is a word that means tent. And so what are they talking about? There's every year in the country of Israel, the ancient nation of Israel, they would have a 7-day holiday And it would be a feast, a festival. And in that festival, everybody would go camping. See, you had homes or houses or complexes that you lived in, made of brick or clay. But for 7 days out of the year, you lived in a tent. Now, some of you came by train and you crossed the bridge over the river. Or some of you came by car and you crossed the Mitaki Bridge. Or maybe you came by bicycle. But most of us, when you cross the bridge, either Mitaki Bridge or the train bridge, you see the riverside, the Otagawa River. And typically on Saturday and Sunday, do you notice the tents on the riverside? Now, these days, it's been very crowded. Way back when I first came to Hiroshima 23-4 years ago, there wasn't that much. On a Saturday and Sunday, people would be barbecuing and playing down by the river there. But over the years, people started bringing like tarps, you know, a kind of shade. And then some people brought small tents that they can kind of, you know, stay under during the sunlight. And then recently, over the past, I don't know, 7-8 years, people have been bringing bigger tents, not just little tarps, not just shade, but full-on camping tents with, you know, they can put beds inside. And then some of those tents, they're so big, not only is there an inside, but there is a front porch. And they put their table there and they're barbecuing. And then it's not only one or two tents. Now, have you seen it? The whole area that's grass and covered green, it's like a campsite, right? That was ancient Israel for 7 days during the great festival. And what they were celebrating was their history. When God took them out of slavery in Egypt and for 40 years led them through the desert to the promised land. And for those 40 years, they lived in tents. And so every year, ancient Israelites would remember those 40 years. And they would get out of their homes and they would set up tents or tabernacles. They also called them booths. And they would remember that God was providing for them. You see, you live in a house, but for 7 days, you have to be reminded, you rely on God for your shelter, for your food, for your protection. Ah, the protection. During those 40 years, every day, every night, God would be with his people. At daytime, it would be a huge pillar of cloud. It looked like a tornado. And then at night, that cloud would become a huge pillar of fire. And it would be God's presence and power. But not only that, it would be God's protection so that enemies would not come and attack them. And so at night, God provided a light to protect and to show his presence. And they celebrated that during the festival or the feast of booths or tabernacle or tents. And so it was during that festival that Jesus was speaking, but it wasn't just during, it was at the end. If you see, remember there, it says, on the last and greatest day, this is the seventh day. And so he proclaimed on this day, if you're thirsty, come to me. And then we go to chapter 8 at verse 12, and Jesus spoke again to the people on the last and greatest day of the temple, of the festival. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So that's when, but how about where? Where did he say that? Well, down at verse 20 at chapter 8, it says, he spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. So in the temple courts, near the place where... why would John put this place? Who cares where he said it? Well, if you understand, you'll see, okay. So here's the temple. It's a kind of diagram. And if you look at number 10 here, number 10 is the treasury, the place where they put the offerings, okay? And so let's zoom out on that temple, and you can see it's the one of the widest and biggest places in the temple. So imagine it's a festival. Everybody is having a big, wonderful time. It's festive. It's a holiday. There's many people. And in one of the places where there's the most people, here, near the treasury, in the biggest courtyard, Jesus is standing up and saying, I am the light of the world. But not only that, if you notice, when was it? We go back. It says, on the last and greatest day. So what happens on the last and greatest day? Can you see these towers? Those were for candles. It's called a candelabra. And what happens during the festival is, you know, these temple servants, they'd climb up to the top, they would light the candelabra, the big fire, and it would be like a big, massive spotlight or floodlight. And so when they light the courtyard from these candelabras, it would make the whole place bright, and they would fill it with music, trumpets and drums and tambourines and harps, and there's dancing and food and rejoicing and singing. But on the last day, the lights go out. So last night, two of my sons play soccer. And this is the schoolyard where they play soccer. And it goes until 6 p.m. And you can see here's one of the lights. It's a floodlight for the school. And it provides a massive light for them to play. When the light is turned off, this is how it looks. It's dark. It's a complete difference. Can you see that? On the last day of the festival, they turn off the lights. It's depressing. It's like I was listening to somebody yesterday. They're talking about putting away their Christmas decorations, right? New Year's. They take away the tree. They take down the lights. No more decorations. And he said, the guy said, it's sad, right? No more color, no more light, right? And that's how it is. On the last day of the festival, they take down the decorations, they put away the instruments, no more music, and the place goes dark. And at the biggest place, at the biggest court of the temple, in the darkest time, Jesus says, hi, guys! I am the light of the world. Now, if you were to be there and you heard somebody at the corner of the courtyard saying, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. What would you say? You would probably say, like me, who cares? That's a crazy man talking, right? And some people would say, would you get down? Who are you? Who do you think you are to say that you're the light of the world? Right? And that's exactly what you find in John chapter 8. Jesus is debating back and forth at the temple. He's saying, I am the light of the world. And people are saying, no, you're not. And the Pharisees are going back and forth. And that's the context. But what does Jesus mean when he says, when you follow me, you will have the light of life? What is the light of life? Okay, now it gets good. Now I'm going to show you what the scriptures say. So in January, if you watch TV, you'll notice a pattern on the news. They'll show the fishermen catching a large maguro, tuna. They go from the fishermen to the fishing port, the fish market, and they show the auction. And then from the auction, they go to the sushi restaurant, right? And at the sushi restaurant, everybody is eating maguro. So now, have you been to the sushi restaurant? Right? No? Okay. It's maguro season. You have to go and get your tuna. It's not cheap. Now, you can go to the kaiten sushi, right? And in the old days, the kaiten sushi, the conveyor belt sushi, you order the maguro, it would come, and then you order a small plate, and then next plate, and the next plate, and they stack the plates, right? And you have a tower of sushi plates, right? That's what I'm going to give you today, okay? Today, I am your chef, and I'm going to give you the plates of sushi. What is the maguro? The maguro is the word light, okay? And I'm not going to explain too much. I'm just going to put it in front of you, and you can just enjoy it, okay? And these are all the places in the Bible, not all of them. There's about 550 places, so we can't go all of them. But here's the places in the Bible where it talks about the light of life, okay? And yeah, go ahead and enjoy it. So first place is in Genesis. God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Please notice, he is not making the sun, the moon, and the stars. That comes on day four. On day one is the light. It's more important than the sun and the moon. John chapter 1. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is telling us that the light in Genesis is Jesus. This is from David, who wrote many of the Psalms. Beautiful words. Here's what he calls the light of life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Light gives you courage, boldness. Light takes away fear. Psalm 36, for with you, God, is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. In other words, the light of God is not like a flashlight. It's not like a candle. It never runs out. It never runs out. It's a fountain of life. It stays bright. It stays light. Psalm 89. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. The presence of God, a relationship day by day with God in your life. That is light. Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, you think, oh, that's the Bible. Actually, that's only 1/4 of the Bible. Here, when it says your word, that's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first 5 books of the Bible. David says, just thinking and reading and meditating and learning and memorizing just those 5 books, that gives me wisdom. That gives me understanding to live my life well. That's enough for me. Now, we have not only the first five books, we have all 66. The light of life. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Look, the darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. That's from Isaiah. Back to John. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Whoever lives by truth comes to the light. So there's an association between light and truth. Honest living. Open living. Coming out of the closet. Confessing your secrets. Sharing with each other. There's a connection between that and living in the light. Let's keep stacking the plates. Stacking the plates. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. While you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Walk while you have the light, before darkness takes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. Please notice the word become. Transformation, change. We move from darkness to light. This is not the Gospel of John. This is the first letter or epistle of John. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, so here, walking in the light means being connected to each other. There's a relationship between light and relationship. It's not just a relationship with God, but a relationship with each other. When we're honest with each other, we're walking in the light. Let's keep going. This is Jesus. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body, and when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. See to it that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. There's a relationship between your physical body and your soul. See to it that you're living in the sunlight. That's one thing. But God is placing a responsibility on each one of us. It's not just God taking us out, but us going out into the light. Let's keep stacking the plates. Paul was in court. He's giving his testimony, talking about when he became a Christian. He was on his horse,
to go and put some Christians in prison. Suddenly, a great light shone, and he fell off of his horse. And when he's on the ground, he's going, what's happening? And he heard a voice from heaven. And so he said to the voice, I asked, who are you, Lord? Answer, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. Now, watch it. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. What does that mean? To turn them from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. The light of God, the light of life, is associated with forgiveness of sins. You want to walk in the light. You want to fill your body with light. Then receive the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, the cross. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is the last two plates. The top one is for your comfort. The bottom one is for your discomfort. The top one is for those of us who are struggling in the darkness. Those of us who are trying to fight the darkness. Those of us who feel weak and we are not able to have strength in ourselves to get out of the darkness. Here is the gospel. Here is the good news. Even if you don't have the power to get out of the darkness, God made his light shine in your heart. God is good, and his grace has entered your darkness. That's why you're here. That's why you came. It's because God is kind enough. You don't have the power in yourself. God made his light shine in your heart. All you have to do is open it, receive it. And like it says in the Psalms, it's a fountain of life. And like it says in Acts, you can be purified by Christ, by the cross. And so be comforted. The light is coming. Like Isaiah says, arise and shine. You can walk. That's why you're here. That's what this table is for. It's to put light into your body. We're going to take the table in just a minute. But for those of you who are too comfortable, for those of you who see the light, but you're playing in the darkness, here's what it says in Ephesians. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So here's the command. Walk as children of the light. Walk means live day by day. That's what it means. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing in the Lord. So walking is discerning. You need to separate in your own heart, in your own life, in your room, in your office, in your work. This is good. This is not good. This is light. This is darkness. Discern it. God gave you the ability
to make that distinction. And then he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So walking in the light means staying away from the darkness. You can do it. You have that ability. Because God has made his light to shine in your heart. And finally, it says, expose them. There are some floors that you need to sweep. There are some beds that you need to make. There are some tables you need to wipe. There are some dishes you need to clean. You need to expose the darkness. You don't need to be afraid, because the power of God is greater than the power of Satan. And it may not be comfortable. Yeah. But the good news is, because of God's light, you can do it. So take the comfort and take the challenge. Receive the light, but at the same time, walk in the light. There's no better word to begin a new year than to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus says. If you walk with me, you will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. You will have Jesus. So I want to invite you. This is an invitation. Come, receive the light. Take it into your bread. Take it into your body. Renounce the sin. Renounce the darkness. Turn away from the evil and turn towards God. So we're going to have our communion. Communion is for those who believe and receive Jesus Christ. And if you're baptized, please come. If you're not baptized, but you want to become baptized, you want to become a follower, please come and take it, okay? All right, so I'm going to put my mask back on, and then I'm going to hand you the bread, and then please come and take the cup, and we'll all take it at one time.